Blog Talk Radio.
And it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the
Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester, where we're discussing spiritual growth due to a lack of love. We were discussing how the Apostle Paul was viewed by his fellow disciples, actually fellow apostles, when he was transformed after meeting Christ. And how they did not trust the fact that he was transformed, yet they still obeyed God and they loved their enemies. It's obvious that they did, because if they didn't, they probably would have put him to death. And what's fascinating is that the Apostle Paul was once responsible for ordering the death of Christians. And this is why they didn't trust him. Amazing call on the Apostle Paul's life, but the other apostles, they gave him a degree of grief. They limited the scope of his ministry, and they tried to do things to belittle him, but that did not stop the Apostle Paul from doing the work that God had called him to do, and it also did not cause the other apostles to prevent that work from happening. And ultimately teaching him and embracing him and sharing in the work of the ministry with him. And see, one of the things we grow to do with one another, because many of us have different backgrounds, varied backgrounds. Many of us were involved in degrees of sin that would make other Christians very uncomfortable and very afraid. And so perfect love casts out fear. So where we are walking in the love of God, which is unconditional love, and we have the renewed mind, those by replacing with the Word of God, and then we're manifesting this in our life by doing what the Word of God says to do, then what happens is we're able to empower others to do what God has called them to do. See, this is what makes it possible for Saul to become Paul, and from murdering Christians to one of the most significant impacts on early growth of the church of his ministry and calling to the Gentiles. See, Apostle is sent as a special messenger into a domain of the world in order to claim dominion for the kingdom. And it's necessary that we understand that how we talk toward enemies, how we live and respond toward those who come against us and harm us, is that we come in the absolute authority and power of God, walking in charity, which is the unconditional love, a renewed mind, as we are transforming what we think, what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell with what the Word of God says in manifestation, so that we are doing to do. This is powerful. So I want to start tonight in the scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Where it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And this is one of those things that impacts our spiritual growth. I'll give you an example, is when we fail to renew our mind to the Word of God, then we can subject ourselves to people manipulating what they think is and talking us out of what we already have. Give you an example of this is Adam and Eve. They had the best of everything. They were given dominion over the newly created earth. They had dominion of everything. And the devil, the serpent, was able to talk them out of everything they already had, the best of everything, and convince them that God was holding out on them and that there was more available. This was the deception, and caused them to fall into sin. Well, it is the same kind of thing when we do not stand on the promises of God, and we find ourselves being talked out of the blessings that we already have, the power that we already have, the authority that we already have. And so what God is asking us to do is to step up into that level of love that is his love. as we renew our mind to the Word of God, then we manifest that in the world through our obedience, our action toward God. I want to share with you an example of my I have a grandson who has a delayed speech impediment. He is simply not speaking as early as most other children, but I can see him developing his speech and beginning to talk. He's just not talking as early as other children, just like some other children walk later than others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it is in the body of Christ. For many reasons, there are different reasons. People in Christ learn to speak in their heavenly prayer language. They learn to sing heavenly prayer language at different rates and at different times and at different places in their walk with God. But when you study what the Word of God says about speaking in your heavenly prayer language, you begin to understand why it's necessary. Just imagine what kind of relationship you would have with your father, your earthly father, if you had no communication to him. You only communicated to him at certain times, but generally you didn't speak to him, right? Well, it's interesting that we were discussing the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul had an extensive ministry. And what he said in the Word is that he thanked God that he spoke with tongues more than all of his contemporaries. And when you see the work that he did, when you see that love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, it didn't matter what obstacle he encountered. It didn't matter if he was being beat. It didn't matter if he was being imprisoned. It didn't matter if he was on his way to being tried. It didn't matter if he was in a shipwreck. It didn't matter if he was being stoned. God delivered him out of all so that he could finish his assignment on earth. And what's fascinating about this is that Paul spoke with tongues more than all of his contemporaries. He said that. He said, thank God I speak with tongues more than you, right? Which one, it's an admonition to us. It's that we speak in tongues. And you have to understand, speaking in tongues is for your own personal development. It's for you to build up your inner man. And when you speak in tongues, you are interceding for the saints. Think of it like the intranet or the internet. See, the intranet was what they had before they had the internet, where companies could talk, the army could talk to agencies within the army, and they could communicate freely on an internal line, right? But then think of it in terms of the internet, where we're able to speak directly into the heavenlies in a wireless capacity. When we speak in tongues, we are having an impact. We are, one, interceding for the saints and communicating on behalf of one another here on this level, but then we're also speaking to the heavenlies and having an impact in heaven. And see, when you love God, you want to help God do his work. Now, those of us who understand a little bit about the Bible understand that the devil is not in hell. The devil is before the throne of God in heaven, accusing you and I, accusing the brethren. That's where he is, right? So the need for us to participate in what is going on in heaven is real. And why God needs us to speak in our heavenly prayer language is because God
speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit speaks to our mind. The mind tells our mind to speak in a language that we do not know. And that word goes into the heavenlies and has an impact because it is doing what God's done in heaven. We don't know exactly what that is. That's part of us loving God. We are playing a role. We are speaking to God. The mysteries. It says that when we speak in tongues, we're speaking the mysteries of God. It says we are magnifying God. It says that we are praying perfectly. It says we're interceding. It says we're building up our inner man on our most holy faith. And yet, so many of us have been talked out of our need to speak in every language. It's fundamental. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to be reading here from the first part of, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. It says, "I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And I want to stop right there for a minute because this is connecting to what I was speaking of earlier. Is, yes, it's needful that we speak in tongues, the tongues of men and of angels. We understand what we're saying, but we speak in our heavenly prayer language that comes from God to our whole mind, and we speak as we hear. And it says here, if we speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, speak in tongues of God in the manifestation, then this says you're just making a whole bunch of noise. You become as a symbol. One of the things that have happened, has happened in the body of Christ, is that we're making a whole lot of noise. But when we are not operating in the love of God, in the renewed mind, in manifestation, then we are a lot of noise. And God needs us to, and he needs to profit what we do for him, because first and foremost, what we do for God, we're doing for God, for his profit, for his purpose. See, remember what it says in Romans 8, 28, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. See? So God is causing the good, the bad, the great, and the ugly to work together for our good because we love him. That love of God is charity. It is us renewing our mind to the word of God. The word of God, then investing in the earth. We're doing what God has given us to do. So now it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And remember, charity is the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. This isn't the love of man first. Spouse or wife for their spouse. This isn't the love of you, your friend, or your brother. This is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And see, this is another reason why it's important for all of us to study our word. Because when we don't study the word of God, when we don't study the Bible, then it's impossible for you to renew. Have to study the word of God for yourself so that you know what the word says about what God has done, about what God is doing, and about what God is about to do. And he has disclosed this to us in his word. This says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, right? Have understanding and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and we know faith is not a bad thing, but if you don't have charity, it says you're nothing. Look at what it says here. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, as God asks us to, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits nothing. See, God for him is profitable to us. But if we do without the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation, which is charity, it says it does not profit us. It does not profit us. It profiteth us nothing. That's a hard word. But if we see delayed spiritual growth, it's mind in manifestation. And then it tells us what charity is. It says charity suffereth long. It says charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. But charity does rejoice in the truth. See, and that's something that we really have to get. We really have to face the fact that charity rejoiceth in truth. And we know that God's word is truth. So that's why we study God's word. So that when we need to renew our mind to the word, when we need to replace what we feel, what we believe, what we've been taught, what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, we can subject God and renew our mind by replacing what we think, what we believe, to have in our heart, replace with cause, it says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. See, it's not our purpose, it's God's purpose that we have to submit ourselves to and subject ourselves to in our life so that what we do is profitable, right? But when we do what we do without charity, without the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation, it does not profit us at all. We can do all the things that it's saying in the word of God according to what we just said. And if we don't have charity, it's a waste of time. You might as well be without God. And that's why the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is unto it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Meaning, you have to love God first, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love yourself, and then love others, those around you, those connected to you. And when we study the word, we see that God goes as far as to love our enemies. And it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we will let people tell us all day that it's impossible for us to be perfect, but we know that the Holy Spirit within us is perfect. So delayed spiritual growth comes from wrong teaching, a lack of love, a lack of the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, lack of replacing what we think with what the word of God says. If the word of God says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, why would you let someone tell you can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Why would you let somebody tell you that you are less than, that you are perfect, that you are not able? God's grace is his enabling power. It's his unmerited favor, all the good stuff you get from him that you don't deserve, then it's his enabling power. But then God doesn't stop there. God says, I know what you're made of. Can you mercy back up and keep going? So once again, it's not not about you being flawless, because you have to understand we have an adversary. We're in a competition. We are in a battle. We have opposition. Have you ever seen a football game? What happens in a football game? The people trying to get the ball from one end of the field to the other end of the field, they have resistance, namely the other team. And they will do everything to stop them from getting the ball to the other end of the field and getting a field goal. So what happens is there are touchdowns, and you get a number of tries to get to the other end of the field. And so there are times where you get closer to the goal, but you get knocked down, you get back up, and then you get closer to the goal, and you get knocked down, and you get back up, and you get closer to the goal. And hopefully I can get creative for the openings and pass the ball to those who are ready to receive. And see, that's how the body of Christ, it's walking in love, according to the love of God and the redemption. When that's charity, and charity is long-suffering, charity is kind, charity does not envy, charity does not vaunt itself, charity is not puffed up, charity does not behave itself unseemly, charity seeketh our own. When you're working on behalf of the team, you're looking for what advances of the team, not what you want, not to, for you to be seen, but for the team to win, right? It says, charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil, but charity does not rejoice in iniquity, but charity rejoices in the truth. Now, look at this. This says what charity not only rejoiceth in the truth, charity believes all things. Charity hopes all things. Charity endures all things. And then it's charity. And when you say charity, it's the love of God never fails. And that's the thing. That God has not called you to lose. God has called you to win souls for kingdom, which will get him much glory, which will get you much glory, and you have to follow after charity in order to make that happen. And then it says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And that's why we have to understand that charity is it is unconditional love that God gives us, that we give others. As we are transformed by renewing our mind to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that we then are transformed by manifesting that love of God in action, and we manifest that in the world so that the power of God can be seen and people can see. But what people are seeing is the result of the quality time we spend in direct communication with our speaking in tongues. Just because you've been working for decades in tongues doesn't mean it is not to speak in tongues. That's why we have to do more teaching on this, so that you can walk into the presence of God with knowledge. You can not just be doing sake of doing things, but you can do them with a working knowledge of what the Word of God says, so that you can do them powerfully, purposefully, and you can build your relationship with God by increasing your level of communion with him and through him. And understand that It wasn't available. Before Jesus Christ, when he was able to send the man again after 4,000 years since Adam sinned, making it impossible for man to come directly before the throne of God and speak with our Heavenly Father. See, God has designed this thing for us to walk into it and walk into it and understand that God's purpose is to reconcile the world back to him, because God said, I will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with me. And when we help him draw all men to him, then we are fulfilling the purpose of God in the earth. That's us giving God what he wants, which is souls. He says the wise souls, right? And so it's that love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation that causes us to unconditionally love our enemies, to love those who faithfully use us, and pray for them. And so it's like what we're doing is exactly what God has called us to do, so that we can yield. We can yield profit for the kingdom, and we can yield that profit for ourselves that God has in every one of you. And we're to the Bible next, so that we the word when we manifest the power of the Holy Spirit in our personal prayer life, because this is between you and God, not for anybody else. This isn't this is communication between God, that relationship with Heavenly God can grow. God, I thank you for this opportunity we had to share your word tonight, God. Father, I thank you for someone having heard something that impacted them in a positive way, God. And Father, I thank you for not being afraid, not speaking appointed time for each of us to learn how to walk, even every one of us to learn how to talk. And that appointed time is a your purpose. So Father, I submit ourselves to your word and to embrace what you have for us and grow and submit to the authority of your word. We thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
to hear from you.
Keep my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide there.
Keep